You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray, another week in quarantine. I hope you guys are doing well out there. I'm so excited to have a welcome new amazing guest back to our show, Dr. Marty K. Casey of the Ungun Institute. And she's also a new Pandemic Posse member, so we're super excited to have you. Dr. Marty, how are you today?
Oh my goodness, Monique, I am wonderful. How are you doing? You look so cute. I love it.
Oh my God. Thank you. You look amazing as always, and I appreciate you so much. I think that, you know, we are doing as good as we're going to do this weekend. I mean, there's so many things going on. And even though my show is not a political show, you can't really dodge what's happening if you're an entrepreneur. These things touch on your business, your travels, your life. So I'm glad you're starting our year off. And for those of you that don't know, why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself and tell people who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Dr. Marty K. Casey, and I'm an activist. That is a professional actress slash activist. Now, people ask me all the time, how did those two things come together? Well, I chose to be an actress, and I love that. That is my way, if you will, of staying in a happy place. Anytime you do anything that you love and you can tap into your own gifts and talents, that is a way to really bring the joy forward. I became an activist, unfortunately, after the unrest of Ferguson. My hometown is here in St. Louis. I was born and raised here. And when that took place, I understood that there was a lot of hurting that was going on in our community. And I wanted to jump in to see if I could lend my voice or a stage to assist with what was taking place. And it was one of the best things I've ever could have done. It really helped to move me into a position to create a lot of other things, such as my nonprofit, Show Me Arts Academy, and my for-profit business, which is Ungun Institute, where we help people to disarm trauma.
Excellent. I like the saying that you have activists. Break that down for people. You've been able to create that brand for yourself, branding.
Yes, yes. But more so, all of that sounds really good, Monique, but the bottom line is it effective? And that's the part that I'm very, very excited about, that we really are helping a lot of people all around the world, helping them to disarm trauma. People in a very unusual place right now in terms of their emotions. There's a lot going on to really keep us traumatized. As you just spoke about, we can't ignore the fact of what is happening in our nation right now. We can't ignore the fact of what happened in our elections, and we definitely cannot ignore the fact of what is happening with the racial tension that has been happening in our nation for a long time as well. And then, of course, last but not least, the pandemic. When you add all of that together, you have a lot of hurt people, and hurt people hurt people. Healed people heal people. And so I'm in business to help people to heal. Unfortunately, trauma is one of those things. It's the inevitable. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when something's going to kick off. But the good news is if you can be prepared for it, so that it's like, hey, you know, this took place and I had to pivot and I had to shift a little bit in my emotions, but I'm doing whatever I have to do to be better. And that's what it's all about, that responsibility.
Sure. And you're taking on, you know, a pretty hefty job there. I mean, to ungun people's already childhood trauma, relationship trauma, and then, like you said, all these elements of our current day world. On top of that, you're going to be in business forever. Let's just face it. But acknowledgement is the first step. So speaking of which, if you are a small business owner and you're just tuning into this show, we are geared towards just that, giving you tools to run your startup, to start your startup, to keep it started up. And like you've mentioned, the pivoting is something that people use in their vocabulary every day now. And speaking of which, right now, with what happened in DC this last week, you know, I can speak on my own behalf on this. It's affected me and my plans. I was traveling. I was going to go to DC for the inauguration and for my birthday and touch base and do some wine business there. And that is canceled now because it's just not safe, right? And it's just not a good look. When something happens like that, what are some tips for people who just feel like everywhere they turn, every time they pivot and they move, something's going on in the world around them? How can we create a safe space? Or what are some tips with something like that happens?
Well, you know, creating a safe space first starts with understanding what has just taken place. We have to be honest about what we're seeing. We have to be willing to communicate outside of our own feelings. We have to consider what others may be feeling and like, why are they responding the way that they are responding? Not that we have to agree with it, but on the same token, it's happening for a reason. And so once you gather that piece of information, then it will allow you to at least get a better understanding as to how you might can show up or what you can do to help with the situation. I had to ungun. I use this all the time. I had to ungun myself, which means, again, disarming trauma. And the way that I did that in terms of Wednesday, as far as Wednesday was concerned, because I was very hurt, disappointed. I'm scared. I'm concerned. I have a 7-year-old grandson. Now, every time he sees the images come on television, he's scared. He's crying. He's 7. And Ferguson happened 7 years ago. So he has lived through Ferguson, George Floyd, and so many others. And now this, he's really frightened. And so I had to think about, how am I showing up in order to make his world safe? How do I need to respond to it? Because trauma is transferable. How I feel and how I respond to it, those around me will be affected by it as well. So I really want people to kind of keep that in mind also. But one of the things that I had to do to ungun myself from Wednesday, I wrote an open letter to the president and I put it on my Facebook page.
Wow. Why am I thinking that? Well, probably have too many curse words in it, so maybe not. But go ahead. That's a good idea.
And I just did that actually this morning because I was really affected by it. Today was a very long day for me in business and I needed to release that in order to show up, to do what I do to help others. I have to make sure I have space for that. So it's like, okay, Marty, you got to dump some stuff emotionally. The quickest way for me to do that was to be honest about how I was feeling. Now, how can I really be in business and be effective in helping someone to ungun and deal with their emotional trauma if I also can't look at those who I feel possibly could have handled things a little bit better? You know what I'm saying? Trying to be politically correct here. So rather than make a judgment, how about I reach out and I do my job? And that's exactly what I did. In my letter, I stated to the president, I can see you, that you are hurting. And I can see that this hurt and pain goes back possibly as far as 65 to 70 years in your life. And it is time for you to own up to that. And let's do what we can do to help you help yourself.
So, wow, Dr. Marty. That's impressive. Well, you know, and to your point, you took something that is so simple that a lot of therapists say to do, write a letter to that parent and never mail it. Write a letter to that ex. So maybe I'll spin this idea on its head. Maybe for you entrepreneurs out there, write a letter to your future self in a year. Tell yourself how you want the brand to go, right? Give yourself an idea and say, listen, when you open this up, you're going to be remembering this moment in time. I like to take little ideas like that. Maybe we can do an open letter to ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, I just suggested this earlier today to everyone because 2020 was a little different, right? It was a little horrific. For some people, they were able to find their way. And honestly, some people had a very good year because things shifted. But for some, let's just be honest, there were a lot of losses. There, not just, of course, the ultimate loss, if you lost a loved one, my heart goes out to each and every last one of you. We're in constant prayer for you as families who are really trying to cope and deal with this and understand it and stay safe. But even aside from the lives that of loved ones we may have lost, somebody lost a job, someone you know, lost an opportunity to just go and sit with their parent and now all they can do is possibly show up on Zoom or what have you. And so we've lost that distance. We've lost that touch and that opportunity to really grow our relationships with one another. Well, what I suggested today to help people to ungun is to make a time capsule. Go ahead and take a piece of paper and side by side, on one side, I want you to put 2020 and I want you to name all of the things that you need to let go in 2020. Okay. On that one side, whatever it is. And then on the other side, I want you to put 2021 and I want you to list all of the things that you need to go and get. So when you're talking about the startup, that's on that side. That's where those things need to be. Speak it into existence. Go ahead and fold that paper up, put it in that time capsule, dig a hole in your backyard or near your pool or in a park, wherever you want to place that, and go ahead and put it in the ground. And allow your tears, I mean, really have a moment with yourself. Because when we can cry, that's toxics coming out of toxins, coming out of our bodies. Allow yourself that newness and that freshness. Let those tears water that ground and that dirt and bury that. Let it go. Let it go. And watch it grow.
And you know, let's be honest about this, right? Like on that side of things on 2020 and even years before, your list is going to be very long, probably, people. You're going to have, I spent my life savings into this business and now it's closed. I lost friends and family. I lost relationships over politics. I mean, it's going to be a heavy list. I find that sometimes as an entrepreneur, you're just keeping it the rubber on the road. You really don't want to list all these things because you're going to fall apart. It's going to be a bloodbath, right? So is there a balance to that? Because if you start listing all that. Yeah.
Well, the balance is the things now that you're calling forward. So for every loss that you may have had, because you have to let it go, you got to get it out. You have to get it out of your mind, your body, your spirit, Monique. And the way to do that is to write it out and let it go. And then on the other side, what are the things you're calling forth? What do you want to see? So that's the part that's growing. But you're putting that in the ground and you're walking away from it and you're having faith to know that it's going to happen. I'm telling you, 2020, for me, it was one of my best years in business. It worked. You know,
good.
And
some good news.
You know, and I'm not saying that in a bragging way. All I'm saying to you is that we have to figure out what works. That's just the bottom line. And one of the ways to do that, I want to share this real quick. I have a guide, which is the one we guide to coaching and motivating your inner artist, bringing forth your visions, your thoughts and dreams, thinking outside the box. That is truly something that I recommend to everybody every single time. You have to think outside the box. And in that guide, it will help you. It's simple. It's Monday through Sunday, 1 week. Can you dedicate 1 week to yourself to really go inside of yourself to make a decision on what it is you really trying to call forth? When we say goals, to people, sometimes that sounds foreign. Well, what do you mean goals? Like what I want to do tomorrow or what I'm trying to do in the next 5 years? Tell me where you want to go next. Sure. What are you trying to do? You have to write the vision down and make it plain. And the person that you have to be honest with, it's not me. Monique, you don't have to be honest with me about what you're trying to do. You need to be honest to yourself. Yes. Be honest with yourself. Is that possible? Do you have enough startup money for that? Do you have enough support? Who are you pitching to? Who's going to be on your team to help you carry this out? You know, those are things that until you see it on paper, it might not be possible. So it's not about emotionally having a bloodbath of what, you know what I'm saying, of what you've been through. It's really about that honesty of saying, okay, yes, this is what I'm trying to do and I'm getting it done right now.
Great. No, these are great tools. And I love what you're saying. Add a practicality to when you're calling everything forth. You guys, let's put a button for just a moment. If you're not following Dr. Marty K. Casey on Instagram, you're missing out. Follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and make sure you're following me on the Startup with Monique LaRay and LA Talk Radio, of course. And if you want one of those kits, if you want a session with Dr. Marty, you're going to have to reach out to her. Dr. Marty, plug your contact info if you can.
Thank you. Well, first of all, let me tell you that the book is available on Amazon. So you can go straight to Amazon and you can order that, or you can contact Ungun Institute at 314-518-5508. We also have a website, ungunninstitute.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn and Clubhouse. So aside from the other social media forums that Monique already named, you can find me pretty much anywhere. So reach out and let me know what your needs are, and I will do whatever I can to make it available to you.
You're actually kind of known around the world. I mean, you have clients of all walks of life. Can you give people a little bit more on your background and like what clients you have? And, you know, it's confidential, of course. And what your availability looks like and what kind of clients you're framing your brand to in 2021?
You know, Monique, I appreciate that question. I'm going to tell you why. I do. I work with all types of clients, like you said, all around the world. And I enjoy every bit of that. But the really, if I had to narrow it in on who I feel like we could best assist, especially in a time like this, I would love to work with young Black men from age 13 to 25. I really feel like they are really in a dire need of making sure that they can get to a place where they can ungun some of these trauma bullets, some of this emotional, overwhelming sense of I don't know what's happening in my life right now. If there's a group of people that I feel like need this more than anyone, I would say it is the young Black youth, age 13 to 25. And I would love to help as many as I possibly can. Every time I've just finished a program where I will be pitching it on Tuesday to our police department here in St. Louis, the city and county police. And I'm excited about Tuesday's meeting. I'm very excited about that because one of the things that I recognize that in order for us to really dig into some of the issues that we're dealing with in our nation right now, we have to restore relationships. And who has
to create one?
What group of people have, you know, the highest broken relationship? It's young Black men and police officers. Sure. And it has to be restored. So I've created a program that I hope that they feel, you know, the need to say this is definitely needed and come on board to endorse. And we get this in the public schools.
What a beautiful use of your skills, right? I mean, that's an amazing target audience for yourself and for the community. I mean, I love that. It's a business plan direction. And I think you bring up a good point about jotting it down. Last week, we started off with Captain Sheila Kelleher, Burko, and she's one of my best friends of over 20 years. And she always does a list of intentions. So instead of resolving, she intends it. And I picked that up from her 15 years ago, probably. And now I do it. So I love intending the direction of your brand. Like you said, even though you're pivoting, even though you're moving around, intending something, just give yourself the 12-month plan, right? You don't have to see the whole path. Just sustain. What do you foresee in the business sector, startup area, being a market that could really use your services? What brands, what network do you find that might really benefit from you, do you think?
Well, as I just spoke about, I think going into the schools could really be a big benefit because of the age that I'm targeting. And I also feel like we could partner very well with like the YMCA or the you know, different organizations that service the youth in their communities. There's so many opportunities of partnerships, I do believe, as well as, to be honest, I would love to get to a place where we are ungunning officers across the nation. I think that's important as well. How effective would it be to help citizens to ungun, but then those who police them are still carrying a lot of trauma and hurt and pain as well. So wherever they're...
Sorry to interrupt. I was just thinking That actually goes hand in hand with one of my productions. For people that have been watching me for a while, I have a trailer, a sizzle reel actually, on YouTube called Justice for Jackie. And it's about De-Escalate 940 that was passed in Washington State. It's the first and only De-Escalate law in this country. And many other states like California are starting to adopt that. And we're trying to get that around the nation and the world. That might go great with what you're doing.
I was getting ready to say, Monique, that sounds like a partnership right there. I mean, I think we can talk about that offline by all means. Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, speakers and motivational people in that genre, I feel like could really benefit from your ungun practices. And, you know, also act, because you are an activist, I think that people in the creative space, you know, in the theater and getting into characters could really benefit from something. I mean, they say in acting, you have to pull from your own experiences, right? I mean, I'm not an actress, but.
Absolutely. Tapping into your sense memory, you have to go into a place inside of yourself deeply in your emotions. And you also have to know how to effectively come out of that. And so that's why through Ungun, I use a lot of those techniques to help to ungun, because once I learn how to do that effectively, then we are in control of our emotions versus allowing our emotions to be in control of us.
You know, I want to shift gears here a little bit and actually plug a project that Dr. Marty has so graciously signed up to. And I'll be seeing you really soon, actually, in St. Louis. Your birthday's coming up. So happy birthday.
Yes, yes. It's going to be on my birthday. Yes.
You're 124. I'm 121, which is
come
hilarious.
On. I love it. I love it, Monique. Wow. I hope you come into the city early so we can celebrate. Social distance, but still celebrate.
Absolutely. And we're going to be outside with a mask. I've got them now because DC was canceled. I was going to go DC to you, but now I'm just going to go straight to you, come back. So that's perfect. But I say all that to say Dr. Marty has joined us on the Pandemic Project documentary. And that is one of my productions with Latchkey Kid Films. And my co-castmates, Christopher John and Gentry Stanley, joined me around the road. St. Louis will mark our 20th city. And we have interviewed people from Puerto Rico to Hawaii to Alaska to New York and everywhere in between. And we are just leaving the politics out of it and focusing on startup businesses, real people, survivors, essential workers, and how people have navigated this pandemic that we're all living through. And Dr. Marty is one of the castmates on there. We can let the cat out the bag.
I'm so excited about that. I really am. I mean, this pandemic, Monique, I would like to ask you a question as you've been going around. Do you mind if I kind of
Let's spice things up.
Let's flip the script. So as you've been going around the country and speaking with people about the effects of their lives and the pandemic, what is one of the things that you feel like is threading everyone together, no matter who you talk to, no matter what age, no matter where they live? What is one of that one thing that sticks out that you know for a fact it affected everybody the same?
You know, that is a phenomenal question. I'm going to have to think on that. I can speak regionally.
Okay.
And so, you know, and I just released an article saying what are the things I learned traveling 20 cities during a pandemic. It's on communalnews.com, and I made editor's pick this week. So you guys check that out. And that might give you a little insight to what, you know, because I wanted to share a little bit. I'm going to be writing more on it. But I will say Puerto Rico sticks out to me specifically. I felt that the whole community as a whole were respective of one another. They all were masked. They were all social distance. They were still out having a good time. They weren't playing around when it came to temperature checks and how many people were in a restaurant. And they just kept it sexy. I mean, hell, let me just say it. They kept it really grown. And I felt that there was a sense of helping one another. And they were very together. Perhaps it was because of the hurricanes that they've had to hunker together and get through. Perhaps it was just a sense of community. So to answer your question, there was a knowing of sticking together, and there was a knowing of love thy neighbor. And that showed up in Puerto Rico the most to me.
Wow.
I don't know if that answers your question. I'm gonna have to get back to you because I want to give you the right answer, but I don't know.
Well, definitely. Well, I can appreciate this answer better than the question that I asked, and I'll tell you why. Because I think what you just hit on. You have helped a lot of people who's listening in right now, and I hope some governors get a chance to see this, because community coming together, I don't care what it is, when you come together and you're willing to work together, you can figure anything out. And I take it back again to Ferguson, that we had never experienced anything like that before. All we knew was to, you know what, we're going to gather in these streets every night. And yeah, we're going to come together until we can guarantee that we can change some laws, we can bring some awareness to what happened and why it happened, and that this, we guarantee ourselves that this will never happen again. Well, look what happened. It never happened again, thank God, so far in the last 7 years in St. Louis. But then we saw it take place in Minnesota. So you see how it's jumping around. So what we can do, we can learn from each other in these situations. So I can appreciate you mentioning Puerto Rico pertaining to the pandemic. Maybe we need to gather this information from you and we see how they're doing it and allow them to teach other cities how to do this. I gone to a small business this morning. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I walked in, okay, everyone, it was only like five people in the business because it's a small business. So five people was in the business. Everybody was social distancing. Everyone had a mask on. First thing the business owner did, she made us write our information in the book. So in case somebody comes back later and say that they've been infected, they want to know where that person was. You're doing that tracing. And so she has our information. She then put hand sanitizer in our hands after we've written in the book, and then did our temperature. After everything worked out, then we could have a seat inside of the business and do what we was there to do. I felt like, wow, I was so impressed by her being a small business. And she made sure all of the boxes were checked for safety.
Sure.
She handled it because, again, how it just.
Well, it was respect of her business. It was respect of her neighbor. She's like, God darn it. I worked this many years. I don't know her story, but yeah. I put blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let the ship go down and get closed. Yeah. And I also don't want to hurt anybody. And I also don't want to get sued. I mean, yeah. I can only imagine. And you bring up a really good point that I didn't highlight. And that was, there were certain areas that did just that. It was a temperature check. It was a name. Hawaii, of course. I was there the day before Hawaii opened back up. And wow, that was a process I'm not going to share on here because I want you guys to watch the film.
Okay.
But yes, you know, it was astringent and it was regimented. And just isn't this a reflection on how you really run your life and your business, the way that you're handling the pandemic, perhaps? I was talking to my friend today. It brings out the OCD in us about how we clean things, but what do you think that speaks to on how we run our own constitution, our personal constitution?
Yes, a spotlight is being shined on everyone right now because it's almost like you do have to follow guidelines and have a regimen. And that's why, again, and I'm not trying to do a selfish plug, but that's why this is important. Okay. It's so important because it's repetition. If what you do on Monday, you need to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through Sunday. And once you learn how to do that and you understand, this is how I keep my doors open to my small business, mm-hmm, because I am getting into a regiment. Who could be mad about that?
Safe. Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share this. She's actually my makeup artist. Okay.
And you look gorgeous, darling.
You. And it's an all day makeup job right now. It's been a lot of hours since she put it on this morning. But the bottom line is this: she has ran her business so well, she's now about to expand.
Good for her.
Doubling the size of her business. I said, wait a minute. We just came out of a pandemic. People's businesses are closing. She says, Dr. Marty, when I learn how to service everyone in the middle of this pandemic, I know now what I can do to bring people back into the space, give them an experience, and I can double the amount of people that I can bring in to give an experience if I double my size of the space I'm in. But everything that I just had you do today, they're still going to have to do all of those things. She says, but the good news is it's giving people an opportunity to come back outside and play a little, but be safe while they play. And I just thought it was simply amazing.
It looks like we froze, you guys, but don't leave. We can still talk. I can still hear you. Can you still hear me, Dr. Marty?
I can, but I'm not frozen. You're not frozen. I see you.
Okay, great. Well, okay, great. I see. Let's keep it moving. So, you know, I love that she's able to expand in this time. And like you mentioned beforehand in the top of the show, you actually had a badass year and you could continue to be successful. I know a lot of brands have actually made more money during this time of crisis than ever before. You should never feel bad about that. Doing your own to help other brands stay alive. I've been posting on Instagram. You guys, if you check out the Startup with Monique LeRae on Instagram, I'm posting a startup and a small business that is highlighted every week. I missed last week, but I will be getting back on that. And, you know, any restaurant, I'm making a goal to support a small business and eat out, you know, at least once a week. So, you know, I'll be tagging those restaurants. If you're a small business and you want me to order from your place and tag you, just DM me. Dr. Marty, what's some good takeout or small businesses that you've been eating out in the St. Louis area lately?
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest. I do a lot of cooking, but I still order from my local pizza place. They are the real deal. They are the real, real deal. And I love this this family pizza place. Been around probably since probably 50 years or so. And it would just hurt all of our hearts in this community if they were to go out of business. So we make sure that we support them at least once or every 2 weeks or so, once a week or every 2 weeks. And I'm very excited about that. I, of course.
What's their name, by the way? Give a shout out.
You know what? Oh goodness, you would ask me that, Monique. I'll tell you in just a second. Let me look it up because I have them on speed dial, right? So
I wonder if it's deep dish you're supposed to
Angelo's Pizza. Angelo's Great. Pizza in Florissant, Missouri. If you ever come to St. Louis and visit, you have to go to Angelo's and tell them Dr. Marty sent you. I'm telling you. But to your point, maybe not so much to restaurants, but I still think when we're talking about small businesses or startups, the key to surviving right now is collaboration.
Yes.
If you can bring someone else in to your space and share your network and allow them a new audience to present to or what have you, because we're not getting out. So we're not having an opportunity to network in the traditional form. So the best way to do that is by collaboration. I don't know if you can see over my head here.
I'm actually still frozen. I'm just listening to you.
Well, I'm still moving around, so I believe that I'm just going to see the audience can see me. So Black Sunday, this painting behind me is from a local artist. His name is Kababi Bayok. And Kababi, I call him a local artist because we live in the same city. Now, I'm going to be honest, he's actually an international artist. And I got to tell you one quick story, Monique. I was in Minnesota a couple of years ago, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, when they first opened up Prince's museum. And when I was touring the museum, the tour guide, of course, showing us all around, and we got to one section of his house where I think he has his white piano and some colorful couches or what have you, but there was a real bright, vibrant picture hanging on the wall. And I looked at it and I said, excuse me, I said, because we couldn't get close to some parts of the, you know, items in the museum. So I said, do you mind going over to that painting and see if the artist is Kababi? And so he did. And he was like, oh, wow, you know your art. I said, well, no, I'm not going to say I know visual art, but I will say I know Kababi's art. Well, I called Kababi. I said, oh my God, Kababi, I'm at Prince's museum and there's a painting that you did and it's hanging up in his museum. Did you know that? He says, oh, wow. No, I didn't. He says, I knew that he purchased a piece from me, but I didn't know that they actually kept it and it's hanging in the museum. Thanks for letting me know. So the point is that I wanted Kababi to be known just like I knew him when I went to Minnesota and I knew his work. I wanted that same, I wanted to be able to say that I've helped his name to get out there. And I, on Black Sunday, which was August 9th of 2020, I had a major Zoom room event, which we rolled out an international holiday where we are observing all of those who have been affected by gun violence in around the nation and beyond. And so it's called Black Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y. And I chose to roll it out on that day because that was the day that Michael Brown was shot and killed in our city. Well, the point was I had Kababi on this 12-hour Zoom presentation to paint.
Hours, my goodness.
That in real time. He was painting in the Zoom room this painting. From the,
this is the one behind you, right?
What the painting that's behind me. And he has, I mean, people are calling him now from all over because this is an international event from Ferguson to the world. We had people in the room from indigenous people, from Australia, people in Africa, all around the world. And so he's receiving so much support. That's a collaboration. And I say, as much as we can do that, I love what you're doing, Monique, with the startups and the restaurants, just by ordering from a restaurant every day and shouting out their name. Because it comes from you, that could just open up the opportunities. They could be endless. And I hope that these restaurants do the same for you. Each of these restaurants that you're shouting out, there should be a Monique sandwich on their menus. Yes, the Monique Lorraine. I want to order the Monique Lorraine sandwich. Now, I don't know what that would be, Monique, but I say that's a collaboration when we can give and we can get from each other and we are enjoying the opportunity to do so.
Beautifully put. And, you know, shout out to Rasta Taco because I love them over there. And they've got the blackened fish taco and they reposted my photo. And I'm borderline stalking that place because I eat there every week. I think you called me the other day. I was getting my mail and getting a Rasta Taco with the hat on like a crazy person. But anyway, shout out to Rasta Taco. You know, you made a really great point. We have about about 13 minutes left in the show. Let's pivot over back to what you just finished today was National Day of Something that you were doing. Can you plug that and tell everybody?
Absolutely. This we rolled out another international holiday, which is now the Global Day of Mourning. This I just happened to be a speaker on this amazing event, but it was brought to you by Radical Joy for Hard Times. Please look the organization up. Her name is Trebby Johnson, and Trebby actually lost her husband in August to cancer. It wasn't due to COVID, but because hurt and pain, there's no respect to person. It really doesn't matter, you know, what you die from. There's the effects of it is still the same. You leave your loved ones empty and they're lost. And she was really trying to figure out how to deal with the trauma and the hurt and the pain. And she thought about all of the lives that was lost through COVID. And she says, you know, Dr. Marty, I have to do this event. I want to make this a global day of mourning where everyone can come together and they can just talk about how they're feeling right now and things that they've had to do to move forward best they can. It was awesome. She had another speaker on and he was an amazing psychiatrist that was giving very good tips. So if you get a chance, go back and see that as well. And she wants this to be annual. And the reason that she chose for it to happen today, because as of tomorrow, tomorrow was the very first day that a life was lost in Wuhan, China. The first
in Wuhan. Oh, okay. Yeah, last September it started going around, right?
Yes. And so that was on January 11th of 2020. So she wanted it to line up to be one full year of, you know,
wow. Okay.
Paying tribute to, yeah.
Sure. And, you know, you make up a really good point. A lot of people are still, listen, I want to, and you just helped me remember, this is off topic, so please excuse the ADD moment. Right. I want to give a shout out to everyone out there struggling on their EDD money. In California, it's the EDD. I'm going to write an article about, you know, we've got gig workers, we've got people that aren't getting their money. And a lot of people I've been watching on Twitter, and these are startup owners and actors and, you know, and just everyday people. And they're trying to do the right thing and be responsible and stay home and not take essential worker jobs. And they're doing what the state is saying, they're locked down and they're not getting their money. I want you guys to just keep the faith, keep the hope, you know, just hang on. I know they're rebooting their systems and it seems like forever. You will get your money. I'm looking and researching to get some answers and write an article about it, but I understand and can relate. And just, you guys, keep the faith. It's getting really, there's a lot of trauma on Twitter around this issue, Dr. Marty. If you follow EDD California, there's people on there threatening suicide because they can't get their benefits. Yeah. They need some ungunning, you know, and just, can you give a quick inspirational, you know, it's getting desperate out there. They've got newborns that can't, you know, it's getting rough for people.
You know, Monique, it is, let me just say this. I think you touched on the most important part of it, and that is really holding on to your faith. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult to hold on to faith when you're feeling empty and you're feeling like there's no way out. And I wish that I could say that I have the magic answer to helping someone to hold on. But the first thing that I want you to do, I want you to just breathe. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, just simply being intentional about your breaths, just stopping and giving yourself that self-care in that moment, within seconds, it could change what you're possibly feeling and you're thinking. It will, you know, one of the ways that I describe trauma is like a clock that's ticking and the hands is going with it, tick, 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 tick. Then trauma happens, tick, 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 tick. But what stopped? Tick, tick, tick. What stopped, Monique? The hands quit moving with the clock. The ticking is still happening, right, but the hands aren't moving with it anymore. So it's not properly functioning. And that's what happens to our bodies when we experience trauma. It's like, it's an instant.
Right.
You do, you catch your breath.
Right, right. Yeah.
So if you could just stop, give yourself a moment, breathe.
And so
I don't just breathe.
Basic, but you should do it. And I hold my breath, and I clench my cheeks.
It happens. That's what happens when you get angry, when you get upset, when you're hurt, when something, it just is instant. And so doing that allows your body to reset. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to just breathe for that moment and then that's it. No, I want you to be so intentional that you allow yourself to take in the breath. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to bring that breath all the way up to the top of your head. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to release that breath back out. Then I want you to inhale again through your mouth. And then this time I want you to bring it out through your eyes. And then you're going to go ahead and you're going to inhale again. You're going to inhale peace. And this time you're going to push the breath out. You're going to push out love through your ears. Every part of your body, every portal, everything that has to be reset, everything you feel. I want you to just cleanse your body with your breath. When we stop breathing, we are no longer living. I want you to know the power of your breath. Something that simple can help you to reset. Now, after you reset, I need you to now be intentional about your thoughts, because our mind, our body, and our spirit has to be one. Again, I spoke about the clock tick, 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 tick. When it's ticking and the hand's not moving, something has disconnected to cause that to not function anymore. So we want to line it back up again to where it becomes one whole entity, the mind, the body, and the spirit. So when we're breathing, breathing is intentional, coming from our what? Our body.
Sure.
So now I need you to take it to your thoughts. And that's where journaling will come in. Simply thinking about what it is you're dealing with. And like you said, they're waiting on their benefits. They have a lot of things that's going, well, maybe if you write it down, I have to have these benefits so I can buy food to put on the table. And so then what is that thought going? When you see that written down, okay, now let me call my local food banks and let me see who's giving out food. See, in that moment when you're not breathing and all you think about, I don't have any money and we don't even have anything to eat, and you're not breathing, and that's when you're traumatized. But when you can calm down and you write it down and you can see what the problem is, now what can be a solution?
Beautiful. All practical things that you can write down. Dr. Marty's new journal on Amazon, right,
Absolutely. So then the last thing is your spirit, your faith. That's what you led in with, Monique. You was like, keep the faith.
Keep the faith, whatever that is for you, you know?
Keep the faith, whatever.
You have 4 minutes left. Give us that faith point, and then I want to plug something with you. Go ahead.
So when you are keeping the faith, to me, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's what you know. You was not born yesterday. You've already been through some things. And the truth of it is, you made it. You made it through those things that you went through last year. You made it through those things you went through 5 years ago when you was a child. You made it through all of that, through that divorce. You made it when you lost your job. You made it when your best friend said they don't want to be friends with you anymore. You made it when you've been through it all. The faith, your faith tells you if you made it then, you can still make it now. You speak the truth to yourself. That is your belief. That you know you can because you did. And the last thing I want to leave you with is these three things. And I want you to say it with me.
Yes.
I'll say it first and then we're going to repeat it. I can forgive. I can heal. I can live. Now say it with me. I can forgive. Say it, Monique.
I can forgive. I can heal. I can live.
I can live.
I can live.
I can forgive. I can heal. I can live.
Beautiful.
So many of us are just existing, but I want you to live your best life.
Dr. Marty K. Casey just took us all to Sunday service on a Sunday on the startup. Please follow this woman. She's amazing. I'm so grateful we have you in our orbit, you know, and these tips are functional and real. And you guys pick up her book on Amazon. Plug yourself one more time, Dr. Marty. Tell them where they can find you out there in the universe.
Absolutely. Again, I'm Dr. Marty K. Casey. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and on Twitter and Clubhouse. So please reach out to me. And you can also go to UngunInstitute.com, or you can call Ungun Institute at 314-518-5508. The phone number is 314-518-5508. Monique, thank you so much for sharing this platform and allowing me to be here with you. It's such
a
pleasure.
Thank you so much for carving out time for us. And I'm going to see you in like a moment. I'll be seeing you very soon in person. You guys, Thank you so much for tuning in. A shout out to my sponsors. A shout out to Leah Solberg at Michael Solberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino in Laguna Beach, a very beautiful historic location here in Laguna. Make sure you check it out if you want a pandemic staycation, get away from it all. They have the rooms there. Shout out to Felton Calhoun, as well as everyone that supports my channel and all of the people that tune in. Thank you so much for continuing to keep this show going. Also, guys, I have a quick announcement. The Pandemic Project documentary trailer, I've supersized the trailer. It's on YouTube. If you follow me on Latchkey Kid Films, you can check out that film trailer and you'll see Dr. Marty K. Casey in there. And I'm actually starting my international version of the film. So we're doing two films, the pandemic film. So we're going to multiple cities around the world starting next month in Mexico City. So stay tuned on my posts for any casting information. And as always, I ask you, what will you start today? Be well.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.